and welcome to Paradigm Playbook, a podcast for entrepreneurs in the business of sports. Your hosts, Dave Kozak and Steve Cook, are business owners, successful entrepreneurs, sports enthusiasts, avid readers, and longtime friends. For years, they've read every business book on the market and built successful companies with what they've learned. This podcast will give you the critical takeaways in just 15 minutes a week. It's a quick and easy playbook for building a winning sports business. And now, here are your hosts, Dave and Steve.
Help us grow by sharing and tagging the Paradigm Playbook podcast on social media. We value your support. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paradigm Playbook. I'm your host, Dave Kozak, alongside my distinguished host, co-host, Mr. Steve Cook.
Good morning, Dave. When did I pick up the distinguished?
I feel like age has its privilege, Steve.
I think that's a charity designation, but I'll take it.
So for the regular listeners, right, we talk about all kinds of business subjects. And one that has kind of circled back into my life recently is answering to the business. And in a lot of the consulting I've done with small business owners, there is always the underpaid owner of the business who, you know, is the first person to say, I won't take that. I'll leave it in the company. And then you make these choices to maintain the business. And answering to the business is a huge part of taking the leap from the technician to the manager to the owner, right? And when I say answering to the business, it's a couple of different pieces, right? The first is you have to pay attention to what your business is telling you and you have to listen. Second is there's a true reality to the accounting and listening to the bottom line and listening to what's happening. There's a statistical piece of this, right, Steve, where, you know, we'll use it for instance at Grand Slam. If batting cage sales go way down in 1 year, what is that telling you, right? Well, maybe you don't know initially. Maybe you have to ask some people. Maybe you have to figure out why people aren't coming back. Maybe you have to send out a promotion to get people back in the door, but it's telling you something, right? And so we have to, as business owners, listen and answer to the business. I'll give an example. Then this is an easy example, right? I was tonight, I'm supposed to be going with my wife to a show. And it was a Christmas present from my parents, and my brother and his wife and I and my wife are going to go. And sometime mid-January, we had a blow up with a contractual relationship. And then something went awry. The employees weren't happy with each other. There was rubbing and it got bigger and bigger. And I'm sitting here going, what happened? Well, turns out what happened was four people from around the country involved in three different businesses are now flying here today to have a meeting tonight that I am the center stage of. Yeah. And so my first instinct was, no, I can't do it, right? Because I had plans. I had something. This relationship and this contractual obligation is huge for us. And it's one that needs to be addressed. And I need to be, and I can't, it cannot be a,
can't delegate.
Cannot delegate. This is a non-delegation. And so I take on all the points and I say, all right, I got to do it. And so I'm going to a business dinner tonight to discuss some issues that arose and to create resolution. And so that's a simple example of answering to the business, right? Give up something personally to do something for business. But there are other things. Go ahead.
I wasn't exactly sure where you're going with this, but it hit home immediately with me and with most sports businesses. So those that have been with us from the beginning know that we talk about early on is getting people that are passionate about sports to become as passionate in the business as they are in the sports. So we can transfer that passion. And so sometimes it makes you make the decision within the business to extend the business or maintain the business. And here's where it happens is your passion coming in may be the top level of a sport, whether it's baseball or gymnastics or dance, and that prima ballerina or that, you know, that, hey, college bound baseball player, this guy's going to go D1, you know, all of a sudden. And then as an owner, you're saying, I have to watch how I'm dedicating the allocation of the space of my business based on this. And, you know, and almost every sport, the younger the age, the greater the operating profit from within that division or
cohort, we'll call it.
Yeah, whatever it is, you're making more money there. And as the athlete gets smaller, they need more equipment, more space, more individualized coaching. So you're spending more at the higher level. And at some point, as a business owner, you have to answer to the business and say, boom, to the point where, and I will be one of these that will recommend, say, you know what? I think you can play college ball. You know who would be a good coach for you?
Yep.
And they don't work for me. And so I first met a gymnastic club owner 20 years ago that made this decision. He was coaching one of the highest level elite teams. He had 12 girls that were so good and they were at the top every. And one year he just said, I'm cutting out my elite team. I'm going to focus all on the kids. You know, I think it was 5 years later, he sold his business for $6 million and retired because he made that decision on behalf of the business. And I'm not saying you have to do it. And if you prefer working with those high, by all means, keep doing it. Just understand what you're doing.
Yeah, there's an opportunity cost to it. Right,
exactly. And if that's what you like, that's great. But you have to figure out how to balance the budget.
So Steve, there's no better example than that, right? In answering to the business. But I want to extend the concept a step further. I've been consulting with a pretty decent size construction company. They do residential, small commercial, residential construction from, you know, redoing a bathroom to building a full house to an addition, whatever. And the owner is sort of chief operations officer of the company. And he's at a point where he can't do all that he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down and the company was probably 5 million at the time the first time we sat down, and I was going through payroll and I was looking at what he pays himself versus what he pays his guys and his support staff and all that. And I basically told him, I said, dude, you're underpaying yourself for the job you're doing. And if you don't increase that, what happens is you can't do that job anymore and you need to replace yourself and you can't afford to replace yourself because you're doing the job for half the pay. And so in doing that, he's not answering to the business, right? Mm-hmm. I said, I took you out right now and all you could do was negotiate contracts. That was the only thing you could do. You couldn't estimate, you couldn't visit clients, you couldn't do all that stuff. What would it cost to replace you in that role? I said, well, that's what you need to pay yourself until you are delegating those roles out and paying people to do them.
Or until pre-sale, you recast the business and you're putting it in there anyway.
Correct. And so the big aha moment was answering to the business is one of, it's a monetary answer. It's a needs answer. It's all of these things. But if you're not paying attention to it, we as owners, a lot of times will, okay, well, you know, I'm good. I've hit a level of comfort in my life. I'll just, we'll just reinvest it in the business and reinvest it in the business. And suddenly you scale and you don't have the financial structure or the corporate structure to be able to actually scale appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to be eyes forward on that type of stuff. And that's answering to the business, eyes forward. Well, if I can't do, let's say you as an owner, you do your overall management, and then you do the books of the business at the same time. So you spend your days working behind the counter, Steve, and you spend your nights. I know who does this for you, but yeah. you spend your nights and you're counting money and, you know, your profits and losses and you're doing your journal entries and all that stuff. Well, what happens when you can't do that job anymore, but yet you haven't figured out budgetarily how you would afford doing it differently because that person is just taking that on because they're the owner and it's the end of the day. If it's profit, it's mine, right? Well, what if you need to pay someone $100,000 a year to do that, mm-hmm. but you don't have that in the budget? What are you giving up? So you're in answering to the business is it's not only when the elite athletes take more time and give you less money and saying, well, I got to figure out if I'm going to do that or I'm going to do something different. It's the scalability and the function of how you pay. And then, you know, we've talked back and forth and this is where it comes in. This is the funny part to me. I always sort of looked at corporate structure as whatever. Right. But corporate structure is designed so that you can look backwards down this stuff. And whether you're doing a matrix design or whether you're doing a true hierarchy design, those ranks and files become more important as you try and figure out the next step for you, the next step for the person below you and the people that can move in. And so it sort of morphs into this whole, if you're not looking at the future corporate structure and have an idea of where the next manager comes from and how you're going to support that manager and keep that manager for a long period of time, you're missing the mark. You're not answering to the company. You're not listening to the business, right?
Looking for small business consulting? Visit paradigmplaybook.com to book a session with us.
Yeah. If you want to, you know, dribble this ball down the road, I think one of the things that you're looking at, if it comes time to selling your business, there's a couple of things, and we're learning this as we're getting more involved in structuring businesses for sale, that the person who's going to buy your business is probably unknown to you right now. Not that you don't know them personally, that you don't know them at all. So the biggest buyers in the sports world are equity investors. Nobody knows their names.
Yep.
So that's who's buying businesses. And having sat in these meetings, I can tell you the first question they ask an owner is, tell me about your last 3-week vacation. And yeah, it's a little bit of a trick question. They want to know that you can walk out of there for 3 weeks and that business is going to run, because they're going to ask you to walk out of it permanently within 3 months.
Yeah.
And so that's their whole plan. And what they're doing, you know, and we've talked about, when we talked about pricing and all those things, about measuring your business in different ways and having all these different price models. But you have to look at it and answer to the business in that, if we're going to run, you know, a dance program, it better pay for itself. And if you've got 10,000 square feet of space, you've got to make sure that everything you can do whatever you want if you own the business. But if you want to get the greatest value for that business, then you have to do what's smartest for the business. And I think that goes back to what you're saying, is answering to the business.
Yeah, 100%. That is without question. And, you know, there's times I always reflect, for the love of everything, always reflect on what you've done and lessons learned and document them and experiences. But I look back and there were different times where I had one business subsidizing another business to get it launched and get it off the ground. And is that the right way to do it? I don't know. Sometimes you have to, right? Sometimes there is, if you don't have the financial support of something else, there's no way to launch into a new pathway. But how quickly can you get it to be self-fulfilling and its own profit center is a huge thing. And if you're not listening, and Steve, this goes back a few weeks where we were talking about, you know your numbers, right? Mm-hmm. Knowing your numbers is step one towards answering to the business, right? We had a stretch with COVID where our whole entire business model changed, where we couldn't do live workshops and live seminars because you weren't allowed to. Mm-hmm. I won't comment to whether that was legitimate or not, but we weren't allowed to operate in business. And so we had to reinvent it. Well, you know, that was a very unique time where I had to answer the business incredibly. I had to pour hours upon hours into it just to survive. And so that's an easy example of you got no option, just answer to it, right? You dealt with the same thing. You had to refigure out how you would operate Grand Slam.
Yeah, and we've done a number of things. And I think one of the biggest things in answering to your business is, in certain instances, knowing when to pull the plug.
Yeah.
And so, and I'm not talking about the entire business, but programs within it. So everybody knows that I have these now 15 different revenue streams that I track. And, you know, and my son runs the business, and every year we have the discussion about, you know, once we rank the 15, the 15th, is it worth improving, reinventing, or pulling the plug?
Yep.
And that's, so we've been through it. We opened up a skate park, and I tell the story about, it was at the height of skateboarding was getting real popular, and we built the best ramps and rails and fenced in an area, and we had it great. We had the music set up. We had everything going. And, you know, so you get, you know, $150,000 invested in something. You're a bit mentally invested in that as well. And then we learned that the local community opened up a very similar skate park that was free to ride.
Yep.
And I could justify for a long time why we're going to make it. We're going to do this, to the point where in answering to the business, I had to pull the plug.
Yep.
And see, cut my losses. If you keep investing in things that aren't making you money, then you're not thinking about the business. And everything, you know, most things in life come down to you feed your ego or you feed your business. You know what? Or, you know, you can't feed your ego. Your ego can't be involved in a business decision. It's got to be by the numbers for the business.
Yeah. And that's a difficult thing to do. And we've all held on longer than we should to certain things. That's a great example of right time, right place, but
didn't work. And I probably should have done more research. There's lessons to be learned in that.
Sure.
I made some mistakes in that. But the mistake I'm focusing on right now is probably holding on a little bit too long. That went 6 months. You know, my approach to everything in life is, you know, put me in a paper bag, I can sell my way out.
Yep.
And that's how I got out of that problem. I sold the equipment. I sold people the new dream in an area where they didn't have a free park and how to do it. And so I got out of it, but it's not until I started thinking about the business instead of thinking about my ego.
Well, the ego point is massive, because your ego will always get in the way until you learn to shut it down, until you learn to respect that you're running a business. And I think that's that e-myth, that transition in e-myth from technician to when you get to business owner, you have to park the ego. We have a statement in our partners meeting where we call check the egos at the door, right? So
okay.
When nobody's coming in, I don't care if it was a good idea last week, if someone's going to tell me, we want absolute. And this is another concept that I think everybody should embrace, which is called radical candor.
Mm-hmm.
And that is just, it is, you are being candid about your thoughts, beliefs, and what's going on, so that you can come to conclusions and decisions in it. But if you allow the ego into those decisions, you will certainly push forward something that, you know, is just not in your best interest. And it's not listening to what the numbers, what the business model, what the client is telling you. It's pushing forward an agenda for personal gain. Well, and it's not even personal gain. It's a hanging on to something that shouldn't.
Yeah. And we have another thing that we have a lot in the sports business is in comfort activities, things that we do because we're comfortable, you know, and to me it's working at the counter, you know, so I will always make the excuse that that's good for the business because I'm the most entertaining one there. So,
in your opinion,
I'm going to live and die with that. So just let me have my moment. But there are things that we all do that you do because you do it. And at some point you got to say, you know what? You got to hire it. So it's like, I've always cleaned my own office and I vacuum it. I do that. And at some point you got to hire someone to do that because you're too valuable running the business. So whatever it is, you know, you water the plants yourself, whatever you do, you cut the grass. And now there's certain things that you give up easily. I easily gave up cutting grass. I just got to the point where I was done with it. I didn't have to do it, you know, for $50 to cut the grass. It's, you know, I can earn $50 another way. So that was easily justified. There are other things that are a little bit more of an investment and you have to bite the bullet on those things and say, okay, for the good of the business, I got to get out of doing that little thing. And maybe it's the first time you hire a, you know, full-time or part-time accountant that's actually doing your daily books for you. Maybe that's the point you say, okay, I've always done that, but that's this number of dollars per hour and I'm at this number of dollars per hour for the good of the business. I've got to shift.
Yeah. The listening to the business is not always easy. Mm-hmm. One of the hardest things to do is to say no, right? As entrepreneurs, you're by nature an opportunity person, right? That is what is there. There's an opportunity. I've got to take advantage of it. And I learned this lesson the hard way, in wanting to be so many things and taking on the next opportunity, the next opportunity, the next opportunity, the next opportunity. And you get yourself to a point where you reach your level of incompetence, right? Mm-hmm. And so as entrepreneurs, there is and I've had, I don't know, probably 30 phone calls of people that wanted to start businesses or wanted me involved or wanted me to volunteer or wanted me to be on the board or wanted me. And I just got to, no, I cannot do that right now. That's not where I am in life. That's not where our business is. It's not something that's going to be fulfilling to me. It's something that's going to be a burden. It's something that's going to detract from some other part of my life that matters, right? And so the art of saying no is a very good skill to understand. And it's funny because as parents, right, with young kids, you're no, 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 no. And the first word kids typically learn is no, right? Yeah. But as business owners, we could probably work that out. Or, yeah, well, let's figure that out. So you have to figure out a way to measure.
So I think everybody needs that person in their business that will give you that radical candor on a regular basis. I'm lucky at Grand Slam because my son has no qualms about smacking me in the back of the head and saying that's stupid. So there's a lot of things that I want to do. And someone comes in and says, I've got, 80 people coming in here for a birthday party. And he just looks at me and shakes his head and says, you realize that's a Wednesday. We're booked up with, so he thinks that through. So training your people to one, think about the business first and then approach you with the radical candor. I think that that's all important. And I mean, the whole idea of answering to the business first, and it's a really interesting topic, and it's something that we probably could really dig in deep.
Yeah, from a philosophy standpoint, right? You're the business owner. You are the business. If you have that mentality, you never answer to the business, and you have to learn that. That is something like if you want to scale and grow a business, then it's an absolute must. And one of the hardest things that I've experienced, and I've talked about this before on the show, is I know that I could do it. If you and I sit down, I know that I'm doing it. But if I put my next person in line to sit down with you and you walk out the door and I'm like, man, you can't fall back into that seat except for in a temporary situation where you got too many clients and somebody's got to step in and help before you can hire the next person to take that role on. And there are times to take a step back. I'm not saying there aren't, but delegation and watching and helping and teaching others to fail and fail quickly so that they can move over that failure mark is a huge thing and a painful thing as a business owner to watch.
And sometimes the best thing that a business owner can do by getting themselves away from certain things is to create space so that they recognize the next opportunity. So sometimes, and you've been there where you're so nose down in the desk and running so hard that, the greatest opportunity could drive down the street and you're going to miss it because you're just so. So get your business to that comfort level where you're there because the opportunities are coming, and you just have to be ready and be able to recognize them.
Yeah, for sure. And I love the 3-week test, right? Can you actually go away for 3 weeks and things are still operating when you get back? That's a big deal. All right, everybody, we're going to cut this one off. I hope you learned something. I hope you're paying attention to your business and you're listening to what it's telling you. It is a entity that will speak as long as you know what to look for and what to listen to. So with that, if you enjoy our show, please like, please share. And if you ever need consulting help, please reach out and we're happy to get involved.
Or just if you just want to talk, let us know what's on your mind. We love the feedback, and those that you have that have sent emails to, we answer all the emails, so we appreciate that. Everyone, make it a great day.
Thank you for listening. Visit paradigmplaybook.com to discover how we can support you and your business.
Paradigm Playbook members, your exclusive content, including the related page from the playbook and game plan video for applying this concept to your business, are available now. Check your inbox today. Visit ParadigmPlaybook.com for past episodes and additional resources for running a successful sports business. See you next week.